Welcome to the Third and Footlong Show. I'm Darren Lees.
And I'm Dee Dee.
The Third and Footlong Show, this is a place where you can find your weekly fix of all things NFL, college football and sandwiches. Hi Dee Dee, how you going?
I'm good. How are you, Darren?
I am going fine, thank you. Right, shall we hop into some news? Kick off our week.
Yeah, that sounds good. I remember you saying something about a gritty. Is that what you're going to be showing us today?
Well, I can be talking a bit about that. It happened a short while ago in the Miami Grand Prix. Oscar Piastri, the McLaren driver, was walking up and down the grid before the race and bumped into none other than Justin Jefferson.
Of the Minnesota Vikings?
Wide receiver, ex-LSU. He showed the gritty to Oscar Piastri, who was practicing it on the grid, and Jefferson said to him that he had to promise him that the next time he won a Grand Prix, he would have to do the gritty. And Piastri went from fourth to first and won the Grand Prix and then went on and kept his promise and did the gritty straight after.
On the grid.
On the grid.
What is the grid?
The grid is where all the drivers line up. I can see you're well-versed on Formula One.
Yeah,
is where
it's been hours watching it.
Is where all the drivers line up before the race. All 20 of them.
Is that like the checkered line? Is that called the grid? I assume because it looks like a math book.
It's where all of the cars have got their own little place where they park beforehand. Yes, it's that place.
Really?
The checkered line is just kind of like the finish line, which isn't really checkered. It's a checkered flag.
Oh, is it not checkered on the ground?
Not what I could remember, no. There we go. We've done American football crossover with Formula One.
And I'm really disappointed that you didn't gritty for it.
I'll do the gritty on our sort of like socials page. How'd you feel about that?
I feel very good about
it. Excellent. It kind of got me thinking about other sort of things that started in the NFL, like the dab.
The dab. Would you like to demonstrate for our YouTube audience watching there?
Well, it's something that goes a bit like that. Well, it didn't actually start in the NFL, but it kind of got popularized in the NFL.
By Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers.
It did.
2015 Super Bowl winner.
It originally came, I think, from Atlanta hip-hop scene.
They didn't win the Super Bowl. Sorry, I'm just correcting myself. Sorry, that just really triggered me because I was like, no, I got something wrong. Yes, it did come from the hip-hop scene. Hip-hop was quite popular with the NFL players.
So I almost felt like starting a section called Famous Dancers Started in the NFL.
And you're going to perform all of them and teach our viewers how to dab.
And gritty and stuff like that, yeah.
This is fantastic. I'm really excited about this.
This is good content. This is going to be high-quality content.
Yes, because everyone wants to watch a middle-aged white man
dance. Try to dance and pretend that he's got style.
You did style, don't you, Darren?
No.
With your little tiny mohawk for our YouTube audience out there. Darren has a mohawk.
Thanks, Danny.
It's okay, Darren.
At least my hairdresser didn't try and sell me volume shampoo.
I know, it was a very confusing time. My old hairdresser, I have a new one now, and she's fantastic, so.
And for our YouTube viewers, one thing that DT does not need is volume of hair.
No, I have a very flowing mullet growing out.
You do, you have a fine head of hair. One,
oh,
one which
I'll show you what I'm planning. For
oh, go for it.
I'm going to do frosted tips. Your face. No, I'm actually doing it, though. I'm very excited for you to see it as well.
Moving into rivalries uniform.
I think it suits well, the rivalries uniform.
I think it's going to suit a lot better than frosted tips, but I am looking forward to frosted tips.
They're going to be fantastic. I trust my hairdresser, completely. She got it.
If you're DT's volume hairdresser, expect a call to be re-employed in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, the rivalries uniform's going to look fantastic with my frosted tips, though.
So tell me about rivalry uniform.
Yes, for the audience here, Darren is colorblind, so probably will not care about my frosted tip.
That's absolutely correct. I'm glad you bought it, my colorblind.
I know, it's next to at least once a show.
It does not get mentioned enough.
So the rivalry uniforms is the new fashion for the NFL that they're creating. It's in partnership with Nike, and it's going to start with the AFC East rivalry uniforms, and it is for teams within the division and only can be worn on games when you're versing teams within the division. There's quite a few little, like, rules for the uniform, which is interesting, but we'll see what they look like. They haven't yet released images.
It's a money grab.
Yes, no, I was trying to politely not say that.
$23 billion NFL, obviously struggling for some cash.
And Nike is too.
And Nike too.
It's not like you see Nike anywhere.
No. I've personally thought they could have picked better divisions to do this in.
Yes, I thought it's I just honestly think they started alphabetically because it's the East in the East, isn't it?
So we'll look forward to those coming out and getting rolled out as all of the other teams kind of get their release.
And then speaking of big money, should we talk about college football?
Oh, you can do, yes.
Well, I can do. I for Alfie.
No, I go. No, we can do rather, but
I'm not well versed yet on college football. I'm going to be honest. I'm learning with you guys. I need to find a college football team. I currently do not have one, so open and looking. Single fan over here, if that's what you want to say.
Yeah, well, anybody who's listening, if you have any suggestions of college football teams that DT should be following, then send them in, and then she can collate those along with replies from actual college football teams.
Yes, I'm going to reach out to the team, see if anyone gets back to me, and I'm going to ask them why I should be a fan of their team. And if they send me free gear, I will be open to it.
So, well, if you want to know the size of the task that's at hand, here it is. There are 134 college football teams in the NCAA.
And is that across all three divisions?
There are 10 conferences,
okay.
Of which, also outside of the NCAA, there are 774 colleges and universities that offer football as a scholarship. So if the 134 isn't enough for your DT, there's 774 in total that you can get yourself into.
Sending 700 emails out.
So here we go. The defending college football champions are the Ohio State Buckeyes, who won this year. The team with the most wins in college are the Michigan Wolverines. They have won over 1,000 games.
Oh, I thought it would be one of the bigger teams.
Yeah, Michigan. Well, Michigan are pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. Michigan are pretty massive. See their blue helmet with the yellow stripes.
They play at Ann Arbor, and that holds over 100,000 people, that stadium.
Is it? And the owner of the Dolphins has quite a lot to do with Michigan, doesn't it?
I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'll take your word for it. So you said you knew nothing about college football, and here you are just dropping bombs all over the place.
Dropping bombs that are NFL-related into college football, but not the opposite way around.
So what would be interesting, if you actually went and Google searched the biggest stadiums in the world, the biggest stadium in the world is a cricket ground in India, Mahindra Modi Stadium. But in the top 10, I think 7 of them are college football stadiums.
Damn. Are they all down south as well?
There'll be places like LSU and Michigan and places like that, yes. All over 100,000.
Still a lot of people packed in.
It is. And people are so passionate about their alma maters that they are like for life, and their kids become and their kids become and their kids become.
Do you think that NIL money is changing that though?
Oh, 100%. It's certainly changing players. So for those that are not aware, NIL stands for name, image, likeness. So college football and all sort of American amateur sports people in college were never paid.
Yep.
And actually there are several famous cases of players that did receive money things like Heisman trophies rescinded and taken away. Whereas now people are moving around quite openly, almost changing every year because they are now getting paid as professional athletes after a recent ruling. Players generally stay in college for around about 4 years and up to 5, unless you're Stetson Bennett the 4th, who stayed for about 7 and then came out into the NFL at like 27 or 28 years old, something like that.
This year too, no.
Yeah, so, and of course COVID sort of got a lot of people to play. So you effectively go to a school on a scholarship, you play for 4 years unless you choose to transfer. Then when you get to the end of there, you can then become eligible for the NFL draft, which took place a couple of weeks ago. That is then up to teams to decide where they want to pick you or if you have any value to their team.
I found it interesting that the college players can put into the league to see what draft grade round they might land in, and then they can decide to go back to college if they want to improve it. I thought that was an interesting fact that I learned.
Yeah, and someone we haven't spoken about a lot on this show, Shudo Sanders, when there was some talk that he may drop out the first round, even considered going back to Colorado for one more year, then opted for the draft and then fell all the way to the 5th round. So those are the risks. I mean, it's happened quite a few times. Aaron Rodgers thought that he was going to get drafted in the first one or two and fell to 22. Lamar Jackson fell to 32, I think, or something like that.
31.
Or 31, something like that. And the most famous of all, Tom Brady, fell to 199. Not that he was really a high prospect
anyway.
He
wasn't expected on the ground.
But it just
out of Michigan State.
Yes, absolutely. And then other quarterbacks, as we talked about last week, like Brock Purdy, that all the way up to, like, the 265 or something. He got picked at or something like that. So that's how players find their way into the NFL through college. College football itself has 10 conferences. Four of them are called the Power Conference for that literal reason that they are huge power. The Pac-12 used to be a power conference until last year when 10 teams walked out and they are now just a two-team conference. Imagine how cool that conference is to play in.
Gold and silver.
Playing the same team. So yeah, so that's pretty much how the sort of how that all works. There is a conference structure that teams
are fitted into. Geolocation based?
Generally, yes. They are. So the SEC, which is the Southeastern Conference.
Yep.
Generally teams like Georgia, Alabama, LSU, et cetera, et cetera. So conference structure teams within a conference typically play each other multiple times each season as part of their regular schedules. Many conferences have championship games, which can be a crucial step towards a national championship or bid for a bowl game.
So do you want to now explain to both me and the viewers, because I still don't quite understand, college playoffs, is there just someone picking who goes in?
Yes, so effectively most college teams will play 12 games per season.
Yep.
And throughout the season, the CFP, the College Football Playoff Committee, meet every week and vote. There are two committees, so there's the AP poll as well, which is Associated Press. So what you have to be mindful of is you're looking at the right poll. But it's generally the CFP that decides. At the end of the season, it used to be the top four teams would compete, but in a short while ago, that got extended to 12. So if you are ranked as one of the top 12 teams,
then you can
then go into a playoff structure. Outside of that, based on your record and conference and that, you can go to a bowl game instead. But obviously, playing in the national championship is what everyone's trying to do.
And the bowl games are named after some random things, aren't they?
Yeah, and food as well. So much good food content for us. Chick-A-Fil bowl and stuff like that.
Starters, something, blah, blah, blah.
That's right, the peach bowl and all of those sorts of things. So there's some pretty cool bowls out there. But yeah, you get into that top 12, you go into a playoff situation, and then eventually two end up in the national championship, of which the Ohio State Buckeyes, as I said a short while ago, won this year.
And their quarterback is now the Steelers.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So
you're adding things.
I know you are. You're right the way in there. A lot of famous quarterbacks who've won sort of the national championship or been in the final.
Quite a few successful college football quarterbacks that don't then translate to the league, though.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, some famous winning quarterbacks are like Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals, who won against Clemson.
Well, he was quite a good college football player, wasn't he? And then he did fine in the league, but he wasn't star quarterback.
And that college championship that Joe Burrow won was obviously against Trevor Lawrence, who then ended up at the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, there's quite a few famous that are in there, and then there's the not-so-famous that, you know, aren't high prospect values that get into the NFL and just tear it up.
Yeah, like Tom Brady.
Like Tom Brady.
And then in your analysis of the amount of college football teams, did you include the junior colleges?
My search was indeed how many colleges offer football as an option, and they came up with 774.
So the junior colleges, there's quite a few players who have done that route where they go to junior college and then they transfer to a larger college. And normally they go to junior college because they weren't well recruited out of high school. And you've got some very notable players who that happened to. You've got Cam Newton. Newton was one. You have Josh Allen as current MVP of the league. So that does seem to be a path that some players are choosing to do as well.
Yeah. Cam Newton came through Auburn as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he went Auburn, then where else? He went somewhere else, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know from Auburn, I think he won the Heisman Trophy at Auburn, didn't he?
Yes. I thought he came from somewhere before Auburn.
Yeah.
Mm. And then the junior college.
That's right, yeah. And then through that way. So that's kind of how the college system works, unless there's anything. There's huge money in it.
Yes.
Huge money.
Oh, the facilities alone look astounding. Like multi-million dollar facilities.
Most colleges are very heavily influenced by boosters, what they are called. These are people that put large sums of money into colleges.
It's very shady.
Yeah. Boosters, they are called, and they will literally have the say on removing head coaches and stuff like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they will literally go, no. And they will pay the money out, they will find the money, and they will just pay their contract and get rid of them. For anyone who wonders about a career in college football coaching, some of the top college football coaches earn in excess of $10 million a year. The Nick Sabans and the likes of those sort of guys, Brian Kelly, all of those guys will earn very close to, and if not in excess of 10 million.
And then I guess the other notable thing is the HBCUs and their rise in prominence, which is rightfully so, because you've got some good HBCUs out there churning out talent that are making it in the league as well. Which, well, famously, Shadow Sanders.
Yeah.
From Jackson State to Colorado to the league.
The aim here is to see how many episodes Shadow Sanders can appear in before he finally falls off an episode list. He's made it to three.
Do you think Shadow Sanders is colorblind?
Huh? I'm trying to make sure that he can get to five episodes just like his round pick, and then we'll see how we go from there. So, yeah, so that's a quick lineup of the college football. If anyone's got any further questions on those, feel free to hit us up on any of our social pages and we'll do our best to answer.
Now, shall we turn out with, well, who I was discussing earlier, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills?
We can indeed, yes. This is part of our eight-week little cycle where we're going through each division one by one. And making sure that we cover every team so we can give you the opportunity to learn some new facts. And also, if you don't have a team and you're new to the sport, we may give you some help in picking one. DT, go ahead. Buffalo Bills, what's your first fact?
Well, my first fact is actually Josh Allen based. He is engaged to Hailee Steinfeld, who is, again, great actress. And he grew up on a farm in Fireball, North California, and is now in Buffalo. So it's a bit of a temperature change for him. Buffalo is based in Northwest New York, up near the Canadian border, so it's an incredibly cold place, and famously open stadium, so that means they have no cover, so quite often you see fans in the snow or shoveling snow before the game, because it's all about community up there. So it's a, I think it's a fun team. I know that they have quite a lot of fans in Canada due to their location of the team.
I'm going to give you the Josh Allen fact, which you would already know, is he's the current NFL MVP.
And I did say that like 5 minutes ago, but yes.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did
say
it. Yeah,
excellent.
I said it. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you very much.
For reiterating
the fact, just in case people didn't listen to you for some reason. But I'm gonna take you down, because you said they were kind of like a fun team.
They're a fun team.
When I was doing my research...
No, they're not a fun team.
I found out that Buffalo is ranked by Forbes as the fourth most miserable fan city in America.
I think that might have something to do with the four consecutive Super Bowl losses, though.
Nice pick. Yes, the only team not only to have lost four Super Bowls consecutively, but to have appeared in four consecutive Super Bowls.
How crushing would that be to be a fan, though? Be like, we've made it. Oh, no. We're back again. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh,
third time lucky. Again. Third time lucky. Here we go.
This must be it. No.
There's actually an ESPN program called The Four Falls of Buffalo, which talks about those Super Bowl defeats, 1991 to 1994.
With quarterback Jim Kelly, who's still a famous figure around Buffalo.
I actually put they appeared in four Super Bowls and lost all four, and then drew a really sad face underneath that fact.
just so everyone knows that they're sad.
It is. They were a charter member of the AFL in 1960, won two AFL championships in 1964 and 65. The team name was founded in a fan contest.
I know, and they named it the Bills.
They did indeed.
And Buffalo, the city, has nothing to do with the animal. It is named from the French word beautiful river, which I also linked, so I assume that there were like wild buffalo up there, but apparently there's not. So
buffalo wings?
Yep, buffalo wings, beef on wick, the other sandwich, which I'm excited for us to try at some point.
Yeah, we're going to get there. So they are owned by Terry and Kim Pegula.
And if that name sounds familiar for any of our tennis fans, their daughter is apparently doing quite well in tennis. I don't actually follow tennis myself.
Jessica Pegula.
There you go. You got a name. Is she doing well, though, Darren?
She is doing incredibly well. Yes, she's doing very well. They play at Highmark Stadium, which has a capacity of over 71,000.
I know. They're building a new stadium right next door to it.
And their head coach is Sean McDermott.
Yes, famously from the Carolina Panthers Super Bowl team of 2015.
Yes, and the probably one of the coaches who's on the hot seat this year, I think.
Yeah, I reckon. I also actually do want to mention their running back history. It's actually quite... was filled with quite a few stars. When I started listing the ones they're actually quite good at drafting, they got mildly problematic figure of O.J. Simpson, was obviously a good running back. Bit of a side issue there for that one. Marshawn Lynch, famously drafted by Buffalo Bills, then more famous in Seattle, I would say. And then you've got James Cook, who is currently on the team, but is not there at the moment because he's having some contract disputes.
Contract disputes, indeed. So there's the Buffalo Bills for anyone that's keen on them.
Can I ask one last question, Darren?
You possibly can.
Will we get you jumping for a table?
Oh, like they do at their tailgate things.
Bill's Mafia, Darren.
Yeah.
That's the name of the fans.
We could do that, yes.
You can
Let's
jump.
Do that. I'm going to jump for a table.
I think you will break yourself.
I quite often break myself, so this will be nothing unusual. Moving on, the New York Jets.
I'm glad you can spell Jets, Darren.
Thank you very much indeed. That's why they all shout out in the stadium, apparently.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Have you not heard that on the telecast? They went, J-E-T. It's quite actually cool to listen to.
So I'll start off. Originally called the Titans of New York, founded in 1959.
They play at MetLife Stadium with the Giants.
They do indeed.
Also founded, no, Giants founded before New York Jets, isn't it?
Yes, they were. They were one of the original five teams back in the 20s. So they have won two AFC championships in 1998 and 2002.
Yes, and I think another fan base that may also have a sad face next to your Knights, do they? Oh, do they?
They don't have the sad face, but they deserve one.
Oh, so you're writing one right now for them?
I am indeed, yes, because why would I do a sad face, DT?
Because it's the same old Jets. A common phrase used in sports media because they seem to have trouble winning in general, really.
Yep, they have gone the longest time span in the NFL without a playoff appearance, 2010.
And that was with Rex Ryan, who has, I think, become a meme with his snacks on Hard Knocks.
Yes.
So you may recognize his face, and he was also appearing in ESPN, from my belief.
They have only won one Super Bowl, 1968, and the quarterback was...
Joe Namath.
Excellent.
Also a famous meme, I think, with the fur coat on Broadway.
Yes.
They're a meme team, which I don't think is a good thing to be.
No.
Shall we talk about a famous island, though? That was quite a positive part of New York Jets. Darrell Revis?
Yes, indeed. One of the best players that they've probably ever had.
Well, he had famously was called Revis Island because you could put him out wide. He was a cornerback and he could defend anyone. They just left him and he completely took anyone on that side of the field out of the game.
And probably a final fact is they almost went into liquidation and they were bored, I think. And then they were going to, they were called the Jets because they were going to play near LaGuardia Airport and were playing at Shea Stadium. And they wanted something that rhymed with the Mets.
And the Nets. And if you knew the saddest football, basketball, and is it, what's, I don't even know what the,
baseball,
that's it. That's the saddest trifecta, the Jets, Nets, and Mets.
That's right, yes.
And then I thought, honestly, you were going to talk about the butt fumble, but apparently you don't want to mention the butt fumble.
No, you can give us the butt fumble if you want to. Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez famously took the ball. He was the quarterback for the Jets at the time, and then ran into the buttocks of his offensive lineman and then proceeded to pretty much knock himself out by running into the buttocks of his offensive lineman and fumble the ball. So all in all, a great meme for the New York
Jets. A butt fumble. That's right. Moving on to the Miami Dolphins, founded in 1966 as an expansion team of the AFL.
Yes, and if you recall in my Michigan comment earlier, Stephen Ross is their owner.
He is indeed the only team to have a perfect season going all the way from their sort of seasonal games all the way through to the Super Bowl. They finished 17-0.
With Dan Marino's quarterback career. Was it? No, it wasn't Dan Marino before then.
Brian Griese.
Oh.
Dan Marino is the 80s. So they won the Super Bowl in 72 and 73, multiple AFC championships.
And now nothing.
Nothing. They are.
That's just my note for the Dolphins. It's just nothing since the 70s, really, or 80s.
Yeah, so the stadium is the Hard Rock Stadium in Florida. Capacity is 75,000.
And I believe they're trying to get a new stadium, aren't they?
I think they are indeed, yes. They've got the most successful coach of all time. That
Don
was
Shula.
Their coach when they had that perfect season, Don Shula. The most notable player is the aforementioned Dan Marino. If you want a sad face fact, since Dan Marino retired, they have only been in the playoffs six times. If you want a fun fact, the Dolphins were founded by Joe Robbie, who was an attorney and a policeman, and Danny Thomas, who was an actor and comedian.
I thought you were going to say about their helmet, having a dolphin with a helmet. Sort of like a weird inverted thing. But yep, I quite like that fact. That was fun. But yes, now if we can move on to the final team in that division, the dynasty that was Patriots from New England.
Would you like to kick off with the first fact?
Well, they were a dynasty. Is that the first fact? So they hold six Super Bowl titles. I think they went to 11 appearances with Tom Brady, who most people have heard of if they have ever looked up NFL, and head coach Bill Belichick.
Indeed. They became the New England Patriots in 1971 after being established as the Boston Patriots.
And their colours are silver, blue and red. I actually really like their red alternate uniform personally, but other people seem to have different opinions on that.
Of the many records they currently hold, they hold the biggest comeback in a Super Bowl coming back from
28-3
against
the Atlanta Falcons and now head coach Dan Quinn of the Washington Commanders.
That's indeed. They have become the closest team since Miami in 1972 to have a perfect season, also going 17-0, but lost the Super Bowl.
The New York Giants, who we talked about last week, with the Tyree helmet catch.
Indeed.
Who would you say is the best small receiver that the Patriots revolutionized that sort of position? Do you want me to name the three?
Wes Welker is probably one of them. Julian Edelman.
Yep, and?
Go on.
They have my first name.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his surname, but I know what you mean.
Amendola.
Amendola, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, and Rob Gronkowski, who you see all over Fox Sports now, is a fantastic tight end. Then there's also the whole thing that pretty much every other team hates the Patriots. So if you enjoy being hated, the Patriots may be for you.
Arguably have had the best coach and best quarterback of all time on their roster, on their payroll. Tom Brady, as we said, was selected 199 in the draft.
Yes, and he is, as many people would say, the GOAT.
He is indeed.
Greatest of all time.
And won the Super Bowl with two different teams.
Yes.
Most consecutive winning seasons in their history is 19, between 2001 and 2019.
It's impressive to win. I think, as you can tell, other teams have talked about in this conference that did not win for many years.
Yes. They also won 21 consecutive games between October 23 and October 24.
And then one final fun fact, they have their own branded plane bought by the Crafts, who are their owner.
Yes, indeed. I got a nice interesting fact, is the fact that they've almost twice been moved out of Foxborough. In 1992, they were almost moved to St. Louis until Kraft bought them out of... He was not happy about that. But then in 1998, almost moved them to Connecticut.
Connecticut.
City of Connecticut.
Sorry, it's just that would be really hard to say. Girl, let's go Connecticut Patriots. It's a lot of...
There's a lot to unwrap in there. So that kind of gets us to the end of the AFC East.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a team, there's one of four in there. So that kind of gets us to the end of our show.
I think it does.
Good spending time with you again, DT. And for everybody out there, of course, you can find us on our socials, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, amongst many others. Get great onto YouTube. You'll see us eating sandwiches and doing crazy things. That'll just keep getting crazier by the time, like jumping through tables.
I know. Pretty much if you want to watch Darren dance as well.
Yes, basically, if you want to watch a middle-aged white guy get humiliated, just tune into any of our social channels.
Yeah, it's all Darren all the time.
So, for me, Darren Lee.
And me, DT.
Thank you very much for listening to our episode, and we'll be back next week. This is a wine. This is the only way for me.